For those of you who are watching the news, there's an incredible pressure of the theory of climate change. We're got to do this so that we can change the climate somehow. And they're using it as a political crutch to try to get the young people especially to see we need to vote for the right people, for those who want to do something about climate change. And climate change has become a very, very strong point for the left. But the thing is, climate change has always been, especially in the days of Noah. Remember it? When God decided that the climate of sin was a little too high, so he decided to water it down a bit with an incredible flood that destroyed all of humanity except for the family of Noah. And today we have people getting pushed more and more into this idea of climate change. And God gives everyone a choice. What are we going to do? I want to ask a question here. We put 5 cents extra on a liter of gas. How is that going to change the climate? You know, if they would be honest, they could put out a carburetor or put out a car that needs about 1 gallon of gas for 1,000 miles. That would take care of a lot of pollution. But they're not doing that. One little mountain exploding gives more pollution than all the cars in the world. So it's basically a tool of Satan to put fear into the hearts of people. And so they rally together, we gotta do something with this climate that is changing. At first it was, I remember years ago, in about the 60s, it was, we're going to have an ice age. And everybody was harping on ice age. And then along comes Al Gore and teaches us that we're going to have a warming trend. It's going to be global warming. 20 years ago, he said, by this time, New York should be at least 50 feet underwater. New York is still as it used to be. And now they're confused. It's not global warming anymore. It's climate change. Call it whatever you want. If there's a storm, it's climate change. If it's 30 below, it's climate change. They got that right. It is climate change. But why are we seeing the earthquakes increasing? Why are we seeing the weather going out of control? What is the real cause of this? I'll give you a biblical reason for that. And if you dare to believe it, you will understand the flood of Noah, in the days of Noah. It is because simply of the gross sin of the people. But in the last 2,000 years, who has been given the responsibility to keep back the evil, to keep back the climate change, the global warming, the global cooling? Who was given the responsibility? You will be surprised at the answer the Bible gives. So today I want to teach on that subject because it should sink into our hearts. There are many in the church who are compromising with the world, terribly compromising. The homosexual community is making its inroads into the church, being accepted. No, they should not be accepted because God says we are a peculiar people. We're different. We have been placed, we have been sanctified and made holy. If there is somebody who calls himself a Christian and still practices the lifestyle of homosexuality, drunkenness, any of those things, then the Bible has an answer for that. We should give these people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. That's what it's saying. You do not say, oh, we're just the same as you are. No, we've been changed. Such were some of you, but now you have been changed, you have been washed, you have been cleansed. So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, O God, that you will anoint this message today so that people's ears will be opened to the truth and the responsibility that we have. We thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God will give you the right to make a choice. Whatever choice you want to make, God will give you that right. But there's one thing you cannot do. That's change the consequences of your choice. There, your right doesn't matter. Whatever choice you make, you will have to deal with the consequences that your choice brings forth. So as a youth, the Bible teaches, seek the Lord in your youth, so that when you get older, you will have this foundation under you. I know I've grown up. I was a young Christian when I started out at the age of 27. I've tried to encourage people to seek the Lord. Seek something with a stable foundation. Build yourself a foundation. Don't just go after the world system and money, because they'll leave you lacking. And when you get older, your foundation is more sure of itself. It stands strong because you have the right foundation if you're built on Jesus. But to start out with, it tells us in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent of your ideas. You know, the world is so full of ideas and strange ways of operating that God is saying, repent of them. I've tried to repent. You see, the church uses that word repentance before you're a Christian in a wrong way. They're trying to make you to stop sinning. Repent. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't swear. Don't watch pornography. Well, there's no way you're going to be able to stop that. Because that's your nature. Your nature has to be changed. If you are an habitual drunk, or if you are a pornographer, and you call yourself a Christian, then check out your heart. Maybe it hasn't traveled from your head to your heart yet. You need a heart transplant. So repent and be converted. And then your sins will be washed, will be blotted out. You don't do it the other way around, trying to blot out your sin and then be converted. First you're converted, first you repent, then you're converted, then your sins are washed away. So this is the first step to become a citizen of heaven. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. You become a child of the King. Through repentance, by turning to him for salvation. And then comes the responsibility. And that's where I see a lot of shrinkage. It's called shrinkage. I was watching a debate on homosexuality in the last couple of days. And there were two guys, they had both had monologues, if you know what that is. A monologue is not a dialogue where you dialogue back and forth. Each gave their monologue on why he believes this way and why he believes that way. And the guy who believed in homosexuality as being able to be a Christian, he was so good that I didn't know for the first half of his monologue whether he was the Christian or not. He was so good with scripture. He had me convinced that he was a true born-again believer. And then I started to see and feel strange vibes coming from him. And towards the end, he turned it all around that those who do not appreciate the homosexual community are bigots and haters. And they need to repent or God is going to punish them. And I was thinking, wow, that guy was so good. He almost had me fooled for half an hour. His monologue was about an hour or three quarters of an hour. And then the other guy starts off. And first thing he does is scripture. And the strangest thing, what I've been studying a day before was the exact scriptures I was using today in my message. And that other guy gave these nervous little laughs that I knew were demonic. I understood it right away. And when he was finished, he put it this way. The difference between us, you interpret scripture different than I do. And I was thinking, the only reason you interpret it different is because the Spirit of the living God is missing in you. That's why you interpret it different. So God is warning the church. If you're called by my name in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He's talking to his church. Turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So here we see why we are got these earthquakes, why the terrible weather patterns are changing. Thousands and thousands of people are getting killed. This last hurricane for 24 hours over the Bahamas, killing, I don't know how many, they don't even know how many people it killed. They showed from the air a total devastation of two islands. And then it came into Florida and was kind of pushed away by the prayer of the people. I believe that's what happened. And then it says here, if my people will turn from their wicked ways. So when you study end times, you see things beginning to come to pass. It's not going to get better. We can see it already. I know for a fact it's not going to get better. The weather is going to get worse. The earthquakes are going to get worse. Why? It is because the church is not going to stand on the principles of God. Many in the church are going to allow the world system to encroach in on them, accept them, and be part of them. And this is why God is allowing this horrifying stuff to continue and to climax, because the church is not stepping up to the plate. Instead of standing up, they simply step back. Have you seen it lately on the internet? We got to accept these people. And I'm going to show you how it works. Leviticus chapter 18. It's a very, very interesting. In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 24, defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereupon, and the land itself vomited out its inhabitants. That's what the reason is of the terrible destruction that are going on. Remember that tsunami that killed 200,000 people in a matter of minutes? It's going to happen again. Why? You look at the places where these things take place. People are into gross sin. God's hands are tied. He can't protect them. So he steps back. They don't want him. And Satan just wreaks havoc over that whole place. And the mess we see, we can watch on TV. So here it says, the land vomited out its inhabitants. That's why we see the destruction. It's because of the gross sin of the people. What are the gross sins of the people that are being accepted today? In Leviticus chapter 18 in verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. What was that? That was child sacrificing. They burned their children to their God, the young ones that were born. How do they do it today? They abort the babies even at the last day of the, at the end of the pregnancy. The baby is born and the mother and the doctor are supposed to decide whether the baby is going to live or whether it's going to be exterminated. That's what it is today. That's what child sacrificing is today. And it's getting worse. Neither shall they profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And then it goes to this. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It's an abomination to God. The homosexual says, he's born that way. I was born that way too, but I became born again. Hallelujah. That's what they have to do. They have to become born again. Oh, we're in such a nice, loving, and kind relationship. Very interesting. Everybody accepts that loving and kind and just perfect beauty. They call it a beautiful relationship. And the Bible calls it what? That beautiful relationship. An abomination to God. Now listen to this. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before the beast to lie there down thereon. It is confusion. It's in the same chapter, in the same scripture. Getting married to your dog. Oh, yes, it's not accepted yet. But they have such beautiful relationships. That they have sex with their dogs or their donkeys or their chickens or whatever they have. We have such beautiful relationships. It's kind, it's gentle, but God calls it an abomination right in the same scripture as man and man, woman and woman. The standards of God don't change. It's still an abomination, and the world accepts it. No, you should see those loving and kind relationships. If you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there is a man that married his mother, his father's wife. And that's incest, according to scripture. It's in the same category as homosexuality. And what did the apostle Paul do? Did he say, oh, you got to accept him, show him love. You got to show him that Jesus loves him. What did Paul say? Paul says, put that man away from you. Give him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh so that his soul can be saved. In other words, withdraw your prayers from him. Don't pray for him. Let Satan have him. and let him be destroyed, because he called himself a Christian and he needs to repent. And the Bible teaches us he did repent. But what is happening today? The churches are just accepting them in. They become pastors and preachers and counselors. What's going to happen if the people who are called by God's name don't repent of that sin? They're going to find out what the consequences are when these things do happen. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now listen to this. "Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Do you think the married homosexuals, regardless how close to God they say they are looking for that imminent return of Jesus? They're pushing him farther down the road than the average Mennonite, which is 200 years. He's farther gone. You know what? Think about that thing. If you see people living like that, ask them if they are waiting and hoping and praying that Jesus will come back today. If they say they do, then they're really deceived, or they're not homosexuals. They know God. And it's not only homosexuals that are in such gross sin. It's all sin. Homosexuality, the only danger here is it has come to the point where it's not called a sin anymore. That's where the gross danger is, the terrible danger. Homosexuality is just like any immorality. People living together. It's the norm today for young men and women to just check up without getting married. That's the same abomination to God as homosexuality is, and maybe having sex with your dog. Same thing. In the eyes of God, sin is sin. But people say, oh, that's the norm. That's what young people do today. Get with the 20s. My kids say, used to tell me, "Dad, it's the 90s. Get with it." Yeah, but I am 70 years old already, and I know the consequences of what I did in the 90s. Hallelujah. I know what's happening. So it says here, we should look for that blessed hope. Live a lifestyle like that. That's why I am waiting for Jesus to come back at any moment, because I built myself a foundation, and I'm building. I got myself a foundation, and I'm building on that foundation, and I'm waiting for the one who called me to come back to take me out of here so that I can rejoice in my real home. This is what God wants us to do. It is no joke. It is no fairy tale. This is serious. One day there's going to be horrifying reckoning to the gross sin of the people of this planet. And for those of us who turn to Jesus, we become a peculiar people. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have become a new creation. We are not one of them. We shouldn't class ourselves as they are. We are something different. We have been changed. We know in our heart what is right and wrong. We know that God does not look at these things with joy. They are an abomination to him, and people need to change. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the Lord our God the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there we stand, pure and holy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. He cleanses us, makes us holy by washing and regenerating us. We are a peculiar people. We may not look on it on the outside, but study Scripture and you will find God has sanctified you. For by one offering, he has forever taken away your sin and sanctified you and made you something else. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. I'm just repeating what God is showing me. Yes, the gross sin of the people on this planet, it's starting to come to fruition. We're starting to see the confusion all around us. You just have to pay a little attention to the news media, to the politics of this world, the politician. Totally confused, having no idea what right and wrong is. Even when somebody steps up and talks about righteousness, he is a bigot and a hater and somebody who's I don't know all the words they all use today, but it seems that righteousness is now frowned upon by half the populations of North America. Well, whether it's frowned upon or not, God still demands righteousness. And that righteousness comes only from Christ himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Atheism isn't going to cut it. Evolutionism isn't going to cut it. Forget it. That's, to my opinion, the most foolish excuse there is, because the idea of God not existing is simply lying to yourself. You can't even make a good job of it, because you're convinced every now and then there is a God. I remember having about a two-sentence debate with a guy who called himself an atheist. It lasted about two sentences, and I was the one saying the sentences. He told me, I'm an atheist. And I said, well, that doesn't necessarily make you an idiot. It just makes you a fool, according to Scripture. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And the generation that has been taught there is no God, that we come from a blob in the ocean, that generation is now eating the deception that Satan is bringing to them, and they're eating it with shovels. They can't help themselves. They love the garbage. They don't even have the ability to decipher the difference anymore. If you don't agree with them, it doesn't matter whether it's true or whether it's false. If you don't agree with them, you're a bigot and a hater and somebody that wants to destroy. And according to Scripture, it's going to get worse. Where do you stand with God today? If you turn to Jesus, it says, repent and be converted. Then your sins will be washed away. You, when you turn to Jesus, something happens to you. Your mind opens up to something that you've never seen before. I've led people to Christ whom I've been preaching to for years and years. Then one day the light goes on. Oh, you never told me that before. Only 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But for some reason, his eyes opened up. God opened his eyes. Now he sees the difference between right and wrong, between all the differences there are. He knows the way of God. He knows that it's going to come to an end. For some reason, he didn't know up till then. But now God has shown him. But for you to get the mind of Christ, for you to start understanding the things of God, you have to be converted. You have to receive the Spirit of God in you. If you don't, you are going to go down the path that leads to destruction, and the end thereof is death. And it's not a physical death. It's a spiritual death that's going to last forever and ever. The horrors of that is the smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. They're telling us we got to show people love. Well, I'm showing you love today by warning you there is a day of judgment, and if you do not take the pardon that Jesus extends to you, you're going to have to suffer the consequences of your choice for the rest of eternity. You have the right to make that choice. But once you make that choice, you don't have the right to change the consequences of your choice. That's the horror of being able to make a choice you want. So open your heart to this. Become a blessing to yourself. Receive Jesus into your heart. Let him touch you, and you will become a blessing to those around you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight. to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love, this the power of the cross.